Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
It's been said a million times, cash is king, especially during the lower end of the cycle in a market. That's when you're either glad you saved up or wish you had had built up working capital. These days, if you talk to a lender, cash flow considerations have become much more important in farm financial analysis. And so that's what we're focusing on for this episode of the Mind Your Farm Business series. My name is Kelvin Heppner, and we're discussing the importance of working capital, how to define it, how to track it, and how to improve your working capital with Dr. David Cole, agricultural economist and professor emeritus at Virginia Tech. Dr. Cole is actually our first guest. If you go back to episode one of Mind Your Farm Business, and the thing is he points out, it's not rocket science, but maintaining a healthy working capital level is absolutely critical for positioning a business for success. First of all, welcome Dr. Cole, and thanks for taking the time to join us again.
Oh, it's great to be back, and I also enjoy working with y'all.
We're talking about working capital on this week's podcast, and I think you've in the past referred to it as the king of financials. Why do you use that term?
Absolutely. What's happening is working capital. Matter of fact, I was kind of contested yesterday in Kansas by a young agricultural producer. He says, "Well, why is working capital so important today?" He said, "I've never heard about it." Well, what's happened is, as we're playing in this very volatile global economic environment where cost and prices are all over the board, it's very imperative that agriculture producers and agriculture businesses have a financial shock absorber and working capital. And, the definition of working capital is basically current assets that you can turn to cash within a year without disrupting normal operations. And one of the things is people are getting kind of slap happy right now because they have a lot of equity on the balance sheets. In other words, the equity in land or, other assets out there. But what can really shut a business down is when you cannot generate enough cash or working capital by taking current assets and turning them to revenue and cash to cover expenses, to cover debt service and other obligations. And so this world volatility in the financial markets, along with just overall uncertainty in the marketplace, and then uncertainty in cost, places a strong premium on the concept called working capital.
In the past, there's probably been more of a focus on having that equity, but as you say, equity doesn't pay the bills?
Yeah, no, exactly. In the past, I heard a producer say, "Well, I keep my debt-to-asset ratio under 20%, and if I got the dirt, I can't get her." And I had a producer tell me that in the past few months, but my comment is a wheelbarrow full of dirt doesn't pay the bills. And one of the things is, I want people to think about this on the webcast or on the podcast here, that number one, profits is your kingdom. Number two, cash is king. And again, in the past, we've depended so much on the equity on the balance sheet, but the current markets and the way things are going, you have to be what we call resilient and agile. And that working capital gives you that resiliency. In other words, push comes to shove, you can come up with the internal revenue and cash. But then it also gives you agility. And I want to talk about the positive aspect, because if you've got working capital, you have cash, sometimes you can be in the marketplace to buy other people's assets at 50, 60 cents on a dollar. And I'll just give you a classic example. It's happening down here in the States. Our used farm machinery is way off, anywhere from 20 to 50%. If people would have stored some working capital and possibility of some extra cash in that working capital, they could buy those assets at, 40, 50 cents on a dollar. So it really gives you that flexibility and gives you that resiliency and agility that proactively positions your business.
So when it comes to actually figuring out your status, your working capital status, can you take us through the steps, the numbers that we need to look at?
Sure. Your lender, and again, I work very closely with lenders both sides of the border, they often will look at a current ratio. That's just your current assets, things like cash, inventory, receivables, prepaid expenses, and supplies. And then what you'll do is you'll deduct your accounts payable, your operating lines of credit, and also any principal obligations and accrued interest that you have. And for example, if you had $1 million of current assets, $500,000 of current liabilities, of course, that ratio would be 2-to-1. And of course, lenders would be very, very favorable if they see a 2-to-1 ratio. When that ratio starts getting down into under 1.5 to 1, 1.25 to 1, they become, concerned, but they will look at other components of your business because they like to look at a balanced scorecard. But when that drops down less than 1 to 1, then that raises some alarm bells and red flags, because what happens is, if you were become in an adverse situation, say you had, some crop loss or the markets went south, then you don't have that ability to generate that, extra cash without disrupting normal operations. So lenders like to look at the current ratio. However, I like to, and of course we have a dairy business, and I like to use the one that's more applicable to producers. I like to take that same example where you would have $500,000 of working capital and divide it into your farm expenses, including depreciation. And one of the things is we like to see above about 33%, in other words, 33% of your expenses in that working capital. What we're finding is the top 20% of managers will generally keep that ratio above 33%. Actually, it'll average about 40 to 50%. The bottom 20% is less than 10%. And just a practicality, it basically says, push come to shove, I can come up with a third of my expenses. And one of the things, we had a quote at one of the banker conferences in Kansas yesterday. They said working capital is like rocket fuel. The problem is now in these adverse economic times, producers are burning through it much quicker than they expected. So those are two examples, one more lender speak, the other one more producer speak, of working capital and some of the metrics that we look at.
Talking about burning through it, though, using that rocket fuel analogy, how can a producer track, how do they go about following how quickly working capital is shrinking, for example, right now for grain farmers in the U.S. probably find themselves in that situation?
Oh, yeah. And you know what we call it? We call it the burn rate. And here's what you do. You do your actuals or projected losses, and we'll say adverse situation. Say we had a farm that had $500,000 in working capital, and it looks like that there's going to be a $200,000 margin loss. Well, you would divide that margin loss into the working capital, and your burn rate, it would take 2.5 years at those losses to burn through your working capital. A minimum you would like to see is 1 year. And, of course, a green light would be above 3 years. And so, again, what happens is you have to kind of look at your situation, look at the either actual results or projected results, and then divide those into your net working capital to obtain your burn rate. And it's real interesting. What we're finding is people are really, the losses are mounting here south of the border, particularly in the grain industry, where we're experiencing now in the livestock industry, and where they do not have a marketing and risk management program, or they don't have crop insurance, some of those other components of a risk management program to solidify the working capital, they're burning through that working capital much quicker.
So when it comes to improving your working capital, selling land is probably one of the obvious ones, but what do you recommend for improving your position?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. It's funny you brought that up because one of the, we'll just say, young producers yesterday, yeah, he had a little bit of an attitude. He says, well, I'll just go out and sell some land. And that's starting to happen here south of the border. But here's the problem. Ideally, you build that working capital during the positive part of the cycle so that now you put that land on the marketplace. Oftentimes, everyone else is putting the land on the marketplace. So what we're starting to see is discounted land values down here. And so, yes, you can sell off. And some people are doing that to what we call provide financial liquidity on the top part of that balance sheet. That's one. Number two is you can also take and stretch out some of your operating losses onto term debt. But I want to say this very clear. If a producer does that, takes the operating loans that they can't pay down and puts it onto term debt, then they have to come back with a written plan showing how they're going to improve their situation so that 2 to 3 years later, they're not back there knocking on the lender's door requesting the same component. So those are a couple of ways that you can add liquidity to the balance sheet. Unfortunately, what's happening is we're starting to see more and more land come up on the marketplace with fewer buyers. And of course, you know what happens there. You're going to have discounted land values. And so one, you can be proactive in the positive part of the cycle. Number two, you can sell assets. And then, of course, number three, refinancing. But I want to stress, if refinancing is the option, the producer, not the lender, has to come back with a plan to show how you're going to make adjustments so that you're just not back knocking at the door.
So again, it comes back to having that right balance of liquidity versus equity going no matter where you are in the cycle.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And it's tough. It's tough to build working capital in the positive part of the cycle. I call it my profit plan, my 60-30-10 rule. 60% of your profits go to, grow your business and become more efficient as you drive costs down. But 30% of it needs to be diverted in the top part of the cycle over to building this financial shock absorber. Now, you aren't going to get much of a return, money in the bank, but your return is when you don't have to sell assets at 50 cents on a dollar. Your return is you might be able to buy someone else's assets at 50 cents on a dollar. And of course, 10% goes for your dividend or your spending. And so having a profit plan is very, very critical to having a financial and financial liquidity and working capital plan.
Would there be any difference in ratios between different types of operations, dairy versus beef versus grain?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. That is a very, very common question, and the answer is kind of yes and no. Down here, we typically thought that the dairy farmer down here or the poultry farmer could have less working capital reserves. But what we're finding is that marketplace is extremely volatile. We've had some contracts actually go bad over on the poultry side. So I would say if they're relaxed at all, it would be a modest relaxation of the rules. And the possibilities of what's going to happen with your poultry and your dairy markets in Canada, working capital will become imperative if some of those, what I would call global macro changes occur. So I would say across the board, working capital is very important. And one thing I just wanted to stress, and it's something that we use in our dairies and in our creamery, we try to also take 10% of those current assets, not your total assets, and have them cash on hand or 1 year of debt payment. So that one of the things is that cash is readily available in this volatile market in case you lost a contract, in case, for example, our cattle went upside down in the feedlot down here, or in case you had a margin call or something like that.
So it makes sense to break down your current assets into even cash versus other,
yes,
other current assets?
Absolutely. And what I like to do, typically, if it's a grain farmer or a livestock farmer, they'll have quite a little bit, you know, feeder cattle, or they'll have it in inventory. And but the thing is, that inventory, I often tell people, I love to go out and throw stones at grain bins. If I hear a hollow sound and then there's grain on the balance sheet, we got something wrong. But also, if I throw a stone at a grain bin and hear a hollow sound when there's no marketing and risk management plan, that can be a very, very imperative of maintaining your working capital. In other words, put some of the floors so that if price does drop, you don't lose all your working capital reserves. So you look at each segment. You'll look at your cash segment. You'll look at your inventories. The prepaid expense, it's interesting. That's what we call kind of not the truest of working capital, because oftentimes we will prepay expenses to, you know, reduce our tax obligation. But sometimes that prepaid expense will not become a revenue for 12 to 18 months because you got to plant the crop, you got to harvest the crop, often the crop is stored. So there's a concept called true working capital. The true working capital, of course, is cash, but then depending on your inventories and your sale dates on inventories, you know, your true working capital can vary throughout the year. And then, of course, prepaid expense oftentimes is kind of a lag out there. So you could be real strong on that current ratio or working capital to expenses, but you may have to wait, you know, 9 months or 12 months before that becomes revenue, which then can be turned to cash. So yes, you need to break each down on the current asset side and on the current liability side. When is your operating line of credit going to come due? On those accounts payable, when are the suppliers going to want their money? What is your principal and interest payments? When are they due? So having that debt schedule, knowing those obligations over on the other side, and then, of course, matching it over onto the current asset side, very critical. And that's one of the things we're finding right now as a number of lenders are working through customers. They are really breaking that down in segments.
Tax obligations would probably be another one when you're turning assets in or inventory into cash.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we're finding is all of a sudden, people are going, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I had this tax obligation. And oftentimes it'll lag about a year. And unfortunately, it will lag in the year that you can least afford it. And so we are starting to see some financial stress because of the tax obligations, where people deferred income or pushed taxes to the future. They're getting hit with a double barrel with the tax obligation as well.
Mm-hmm. What about for young farmers looking to have a healthy working capital? Say a young producer has just bought land, and so they're heavy on equity. How can they maintain a healthy working capital level?
Yeah, here's the problem with a young producer. They want to grow that business, but then they want to preserve some of the working capital. And so what I really feel that sometimes they have to be what I call selective growth. And the problem is that never occurs because all the farms come up for rent or sale all at one time. And so one of the things, if possible, and if they're profitable, is to stash a year of debt payment in cash in the bank, And again, you won't do it overnight. You might work that up over a 3 or 4 year period. So what I'm trying to say is put a little aside each and every year. Still grow because you've got to grow out there, but do it disciplined over a 5 to 7 year period. And then if some adversity comes, then you will have it to withdraw from. But it's not easy for a young producer because they've got the mixed objectives. They want to grow, but they don't want to lose everything. And I had a young couple say, you know, we worked hard for this first $1 million worth of equity, and we don't want to lose it overnight. So they actually had a plan where they set a little aside each year when they were in the profitable part of the cycle so that they could preserve those assets, you know, when the eventual downturn has come. And actually, in that case, the downturn has come, and they're able to work through it. So it's a real, you know, a tough situation there for agriculture, young agriculture producers.
So if you could sum this up for producers, kind of give a take-home, how do you recommend a farm go about implementing these ideas and these concepts?
Okay, my advice would be to farmers, okay, let's put it this way, plan. And I'm just going to call it my four-point game plan. Number one, make sure you have your goals in writing, well articulated. 1 year goals, 3 to 5 year goals. And that is very imperative because in this type of environment, I know we're talking about working capital, communicating with your family, communicating with your lender, and having clarity in that is very, very important. Second, very, very important is to develop a cash flow, whether it's monthly or quarterly or semi-annually. Very critical, because if you'll go through and develop a cash flow, you're talking about your operations, your marketing plan, your financial plan, and then by doing that cash flow, you will see where there might be periods of surplus and deficit where you may have to draw on that working capital. Cash flow is very, very critical to looking at your working capital needs. And then, of course, have your balance sheet updated, and pay close attention to the top half of that balance sheet, current assets and current liabilities. And then, very, very critical, schedule an appointment with your lender or your financial advisor and go over those financials. And a lot of people fear that because they think the lender's just going to criticize them. No, a good lender will say, hey, you're making progress here. You might want to think about this. And if you can do those four things right there, that will be imperative in developing, building, maintaining, and protecting working capital and actually protecting your business assets. And so that would be my final four components. And it was real interesting. I had a farm panel in Kansas yesterday. We had a pretty arrogant young farmer. Well, he was probably in his mid-40s. He says, my lender's going to ask me goals. He goes, okay, whatever. He was very, very arrogant about that. And I could tell that young man had not been through the tough times that were going to come at him. And then he says, cash flow. He says, oh, I can make cash flow look like anything. Let's put it this way. You got to be true and honest to yourself, and you got to come with the right type of attitude out there. And so as I was preparing for this podcast today, that was fresh in my mind. There are some people out here that will just poo-poo this. They'll say it's not rocket science. I've actually been criticized online here the past years that they say they paid this guy to say this. It's not about rocket science. It's not about rocket science. It's back to the basics. And we're coming into an economic environment that's not going to crash. We're in a reset, and those basics are going to be very, very critical. But you got to come with it with the right attitude. It's not only working with your lender, but it'll make your business better as well.
I heard a speaker this week say things that are easy to do are also easy not to do. So that would probably apply to this.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. you know, whoever that speaker was is spot on, absolutely correct. And again, it's not about rocket science. It's back to the basics. And I got to tell you, I'm speaking in this podcast from the head and the heart because we operate a multi-million dollar business, a creamer business, and we do these, and it's the basics. And when we have our meeting on Monday, you know, we're going to be going right through looking at our working capital reserves, looking at our, you know, projected versus actual cash flows. And again, what's exciting is when it really does work, but it also gives you a sense of relief. You kind of know where you're at in case you have a, you know, macro or a micro snafu in the business.
Well, thanks again for taking the time to join us, Dr. Cole.
Yeah, and that was very good, and I also enjoy being with you, and I'll be up in Canada, you know, doing a series here, and hopefully I'll see some of the people in person, and keep up the good work, and I hope everybody is doing well in Canada.
So keeping enough cash and current assets on hand isn't, again, necessarily rocket science, as Dr. Cole says. But, of course, we like to test the limits and we get away with something for a while, especially during the good times. And then things get harder and all of a sudden a business is in trouble. As Dr. Cole says, working capital is the financial shock absorber when you hit a rough patch. Thanks again to Dr. Cole, to RBC Financial for partnering with us on the Mind Your Farm Business series. And thank you for listening.